Part 4. The Straylight Run. Chapter 13. "Your name is Henry Dorset Case." She recited the year and place of his birth, his Bama single identification number, and a string of names he gradually recognized as aliases from his past. "You been here a while?" He saw the contents of his bag spread out across the bed, unwashed clothing sorted by type. The shuriken lay by itself, between jeans and underwear, on the sand-tinted temper foam. "Where is Kolodny?" The two men sat side by side on the couch, their arms crossed over tanned chests, identical gold chains slung around their necks. Case peered at them and saw that their youth was counterfeit, marked by a certain telltale corrugation at the knuckles, something the surgeons were unable to erase. "Who's Kolodny?" "That was the name in the register. Where is she?"
"I don't know," he said, crossing to the bar and pouring himself a glass of mineral water.
"She took off." "Where did you go tonight, Case?"
The girl picked up the pistol and rested it on her thigh, without actually pointing it at him. "Jules Verne, couple of bars, got high. How about you?" His knees felt brittle. The mineral water was warm and flat.
"I don't think you grasp your situation," said the man on the left, taking a pack of gitans from the breast pocket of his white mesh blouse. "You are busted, Mr. Case. The charges have to do with conspiracy to augment an artificial intelligence."
He took a gold Dunhill from the same pocket and cradled it in his palm.
"The man you call Armitage is already in custody."
"Corto?" The man's eyes widened.
"Yes. How did you know that that is his name?"
A millimeter of flame clicked from the lighter.
"I forget," Case said. "You'll remember," the girl said.
Their names, or work names, were Michel, Roland, and Pierre. Pierre, Case decided, would play the bad cop. Roland would take Case's side, provide small kindnesses. He found an unopened pack of Yehayuans when Case refused a gitan, and generally play counterpoint to Pierre's cold hostility. Michel would be the recording angel, making occasional adjustments in the direction of the interrogation. One or all of them, he was certain, kinked for audio, very likely for Simstim, and anything he said or did now was admissible evidence. Evidence, he asked himself, through the grinding come-down, of what? Knowing that he couldn't follow their French, they spoke freely among themselves, or seemed to. He caught enough as it was. Names like Pauli, Armitage, Sensenet, Panther Moderns, protruding like icebergs from an animated sea of Parisian French. But it was entirely possible that the names were there for his benefit. They always referred to Molly as Kolodny.
"You say you were hired to make a run, Case," Roland said, his slow speech intended to convey reasonableness, "and that you are unaware of the nature of the target. Is this not unusual in your trade? Having penetrated defenses, would you not be unable then to perform the required operation? And surely an operation of some kind is required, yes?"
He leaned forward, elbows on his stenciled brown knees, palms out to receive Case's explanation. Pierre paced the room. Now he was by the window, now by the door. Michel was the kink, Case decided. Her eyes never left him.
"Can I put some clothes on?" he asked.
Pierre had insisted on stripping him, searching the seams of his jeans. Now he sat naked on a wicker footstool, with one foot obscenely white. Roland asked Pierre something in French. Pierre, at the window again, was peering through a flat little pair of binoculars.
"Non,"
he said absently, and Roland shrugged, raising his eyebrows at Case. Case decided it was a good time to smile. Roland returned the smile. Oldest cop bullshit in the book, Case thought.
"Look," he said, "I'm sick. Had this god-awful drug in a bar, you know. I want to lie down. You got me already. You say you got Armitage. You got him, go ask him. I'm just hired help."
Roland nodded.
"And Kolodny?"
"She was with Armitage when he hired me. Just muscle, a razor girl, far as I know, which isn't too far.
You know that Armitage's real name is Corto, Pierre said, his eyes still hidden by the soft plastic flanges of the binoculars. How do you know that, my friend?
I guess he mentioned it sometime, Case said, regretting the slip. Everybody's got a couple names. Your name, Pierre?
We know how you were repaired in Chiba, Michel said, and that may have been Wintermute's first mistake. Case stared at her as blankly as he could. The name hadn't been mentioned before. The process employed on you resulted in the clinic's owner applying for 7 basic patents. Do you know what that means?
No.
It means that the operator of a black clinic in Chiba City now owns a controlling interest in 3 major medical research consortiums. This reverses the usual order of things, you see. It attracted attention.
She crossed her brown arms against her small, high breasts and settled back against the print cushion. Case wondered how old she might be. People said that age always showed in the eyes, but he'd never been able to see it. Julie Dean had had the eyes of a disinterested 10-year-old behind the rose quartz of his glasses. Nothing old about Michelle but her knuckles.
Traced you to the sprawl, lost you again, then caught up with you as you were leaving for Istanbul. We backtracked, traced you through the grid, determined that you'd instigated a riot at SenseNet. SenseNet was eager to cooperate. They ran an inventory for us. They discovered that McCoy Polly's ROM personality construct was missing.
In Istanbul, Roland said, almost apologetically, it was very easy. The woman had alienated Armitage's contact with the secret police.
And then you came here, Pierre said, slipping the binoculars into his shorts pocket. We were delighted.
Chance to work on your tan?
You know what we mean, Michelle said. If you wish to pretend that you do not, you only make things more difficult for yourself. There is still the matter of extradition. You will return with us, Case, as will Armitage. But where exactly will we all be going? To Switzerland, where you will be merely a pawn in the trial of an artificial intelligence? Or to Alabama, where you can be proven to have participated not only in data invasion and larceny, but in an act of public mischief which cost 14 innocent lives? The choice is yours.
Case took a Yehayuan from his pocket. Pierre lit it for him with the gold Dunhill.
Would Armitage protect you?
The question was punctuated by the lighter's bright jaws snapping shut. Case looked up at him through the ache and bitterness of beta-phenethylamine.
How old are you, boss?
Old enough to know that you are fucked, burnt, that this is over and you are in the way.
One thing, Case said and drew on his cigarette.
He blew the smoke up at the touring registry agent. Do you guys have any real jurisdiction out here? I mean, shouldn't you have the Freeside security team in on this party? It's their turf, isn't it?
He saw the dark eyes harden in the lean boy face and tensed for the blow, but Pierre only shrugged.
It doesn't matter, Roland said. You will come with us. We are at home with situations of legal ambiguity. The treaties under which our arm of the registry operates grant us a great deal of flexibility, and we create flexibility in situations where it is required.
The mask of amiability was down suddenly, Roland's eyes as hard as Pierre's.
You are worse than a fool, Michelle said, getting to her feet, the pistol in her hand. You have no care for your species. For thousands of years men dreamed of pacts with demons. Only now are such things possible. And what would you be paid with? What would your price be for aiding this thing to free itself and grow?
There was a knowing weariness in her young voice that no 19-year-old could have mustered.
You will dress now. You will come with us. Along with the one you call Armitage, you will return with us to Geneva and give testimony in the trial of this intelligence. Otherwise, we kill you. Now.
She raised the pistol, a smooth black Walther, with an integral silencer.
I'm dressing already, he said, stumbling toward the bed. His legs were still numb, clumsy. He fumbled with a clean T-shirt.
We have a ship standing by. We will erase Polly's construct with a pulse weapon.
SenseNet'll be pissed, Case said, thinking, and all the evidence in the Hosaka. they are in some difficulty already for having owned such a thing. Case pulled the shirt over his head. He saw the shuriken on the bed, lifeless metal, his star. He felt for the anger. It was gone. Time to give in, to roll with it. He thought of the toxin sacks. "Here comes the meat," he muttered. In the elevator to the meadow, he thought of Molly. She might already be in Straylight, hunting Riviera, hunted probably by Hideo, who was almost certainly the ninja clone of the Finn's story, the one who'd come to retrieve the talking head. He rested his forehead against the matte black plastic of a wall panel and closed his eyes. His limbs were wood, old, warped, and heavy with rain. Lunch was being served beneath the trees under the bright umbrellas. Roland and Michelle fell into character, chattering brightly in French. Pierre came behind. Michelle kept the muzzle of her pistol close to his ribs, concealing the gun with a white duck jacket she draped over her arm. Crossing the meadow, weaving between the tables and the trees, he wondered if she would shoot him if he collapsed now. Black fur boiled at the borders of his vision. He glanced up at the hot white band of the Lotto Atchison armature and saw the giant butterfly banking gracefully against recorded sky. At the edge of the meadow, they came to a railinged cliffside, wildflowers dancing in the updraft from the canyon that was Desiderata. Michelle tossed her short dark hair and pointed, saying something in French to Roland. She sounded genuinely happy. Case followed the direction of her gesture and saw the curve of plaining lakes, the white glint of casinos, turquoise rectangles of a thousand pools, the bodies of bathers, tiny bronze hieroglyphs, all held in serene approximation of gravity against the endless curve of Freeside's hull. They followed the railing to an ornate iron bridge that arched over Desiderata. Michelle prodded him with the muzzle of the Walther. "Take it easy. I can't hardly walk today." They were a little over a quarter of the way across when the microlight struck, its electric engine silent until the carbon fiber prop chopped away the top of Pierre's skull. They were in the thing's shadow for an instant. Case felt the hot blood spray across the back of his neck, and then someone tripped him. He rolled, seeing Michelle on her back, knees up, aiming the Walther with both hands. That's a waste of effort, he thought, with the strange lucidity of shock. She was trying to shoot down the microlight. And then he was running. He looked back as he passed the first of the trees. Roland was running after him. He saw the fragile biplane strike the iron railing of the bridge, crumple, cartwheel, sweeping the girl with it down into Desiderata. Roland hadn't looked back. His face was fixed, white, his teeth bared. He had something in his hand. The gardening robot took Roland as he passed that same tree. It fell straight out of the groomed branches, a thing like a crab, diagonally striped with black and yellow. "You killed him," Case panted, running. "Crazy motherfucker, you killed 'em all."